ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। Sister Devi is reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 89, entitled Krishna and Arjuna Retrieve the Brahmana's Sons. And we'll be doing text 12 through 17. So we can do 12 responsively and the others simultaneously. We have 12 up there. Sri Shuka Vacha, Evam Bhuvane Vaikunte, Bhrigusthan Madraya Gira, Nirvitas Tarpitas Tushnim, Bhaktyuk Kento Shulochana. Sri Sita Vacha Evam Bhuvane Vaikunte Bhrigusthan Madraya Gira Nirvritas Tarpitas Tushnim Bhaktyukanto Shrulochana. Sri Shuka Vacha Evam Bhuvane Vaikunte Bhrigusthan Mandraya Gira Nirvitas Tarpitas Tushnim Bhaktyukanto Srilochana. Sri Sita Vacha Evam Bhuvane Vaikunte Bhrigusthan Mandraya Gira Nirvritas Tarpitas Tushnim Bhaktikanto Shilochana. Sri Sita Vacha Evam Bhuvane Vaikunte Bhrigusthan Mandraya Gira Nirvitas Tarpitas Tushnim Bhaktyukanto Shulochana. Shishuka Vacha Evam Bhuvane Vaikunte Bhrigusthan Mandraya Gira Nirvitas Tarpitas Tushnim Bhaktyukanto Shulochana. Sri Shuka Vacha Evam Bhuvane Vaikunte Bhrigusthan Mandraya Gira Nirvritas Tarpitas Tushnim Bhaktyukanto Shulochana. Mothers. Evam Bhuvane Vaikunte Bhrigusthan Mandraya Gira Nirvritas Tarpitas Tushnim Bhaktyukanto Shulochana. Word for word. Sri Shuka Vacha Sukadev Goswami said, Ivam in this way, Bhuvane, having spoken, Vaikunthe, Lord Vishnu, Bhriguhu, Bhrigu, Tat, his, Mandraya, solemn, Gira, by the words, Nibritaha, delighted, Tarpitaha, gratified, Tushnim, was silent, Bhakti, with devotion, Utkantaha, overwhelmed, Ashru, tears, Lochanaha, in whose eyes? Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Sukadev Goswami said, Bhrigu felt satisfied and delighted to hear the solemn words spoken by Lord Vaikuntha. Overwhelmed with devotional ecstasy, he remained silent, his eyes brimming with tears. Purport. Bhrigu could not offer the Lord any words of praise because his throat was choking with tears of ecstasy. In the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the sage should not be condemned for his offensive behavior, since his role in this transcendental pastime was arranged by the personality of Godhead. And so 13, we can do simultaneously. Punascha satrama vraja muninam brahmavandinam swanubhutam asheshena rajan bhriguravarnayat. O king, Bhrigu then returned to the sacrificial arena of the wise Vedic authorities and described his entire experience to them. And 14 through 17. Tannisam yata munyayo vishmita mukta samsaya bhuyam samshradador vishnu yata shantir yato bhayam dharma shakshad yato jnanam vairagyam chatadanavitam aishwaryam chastata yasmad yasaschatma malapaham muninam yaska dandyanam shantanam samacheshayatam akinchanam sadunam yamahu paramam gatim satvam yasya kriya murtir brahmanasva ishvati gata bhajantanai shisha shanta Amazed upon hearing Bhrigu's account, the sages were freed from all doubts and became convinced that Vishnu is the greatest Lord. From him came peace, fearlessness, the essential principles of religion, detachment with knowledge, the eightfold powers of mystic yoga, and his glorification, which cleanses the mind of all impurities. He is known as the supreme destination for those who are peaceful and equipoised, the selfless, wise saints who have given up all violence. His most dear form is that of pure goodness, and the Brahmanas are his worshipable deities. Persons of keen intellect who have attained spiritual peace worship him without selfish motives. By becoming devoted to the personality of Godhead, one easily attains divine knowledge and detachment from sense gratification without separate endeavor. As described in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Parishanu Bhavo Viraktir Anyatra Chaisha Trita Ekatrala Padmaya Manasya Yatas Tusti Tusti Shiva Purusha. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things, these three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, that pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger came, in the same way that pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. Similarly, in the first canto, 127, Srila Sutta Goswami states, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janaya Chasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chaya Dahaitikam. By rendering devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. Lord Sri Kapila, in his instructions to his mother, Devahuti, proposes that the eightfold powers of yoga are also coincidental fruits of devotional service. Ato vibhutim mama maya vinastam aishwaryam. Because he is completely absorbed in thought of me, my devotee does not desire even the highest benediction obtainable in the upper planetary systems, including Satchalok, that's a lok of Lord Brahma. He does not desire the eight material perfections obtained from mystic yoga, nor does he desire to be elevated to the kingdom of God. Yet even without desiring them, my devotee enjoys, even in this life, all the offered benedictions. 325-37. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti points out that in text 16, three kinds of transcendentalists are named: the Munis, the Shantas, and the Sadhus. These are, in order of increasing importance, persons striving for liberation, those who have attained liberation, and those who are engaged in pure devotional service to Lord Vishnu. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalataya Chakshuro Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah. Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Shri Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastite. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Priya. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Vipasendu Vyayevacha Atitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Shri Lagadau Prabhu Iti Namane. Shri Shri Vrindavati Vihira Padapad Pankajadayame Prabhupadana Vadayanama Shri Vrindavati Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Vitale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Vishesha Sinyadari Pasyacha Vrishadayana Hare Krishna. So, just to give a little recap as to what probably took place in class for the past couple or few days, is that Bhrigu Muni was deputed by the sages to go and find out who is the greatest lord among these three personalities, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Vishnu. So he came back with his report to establish the fact that Lord Vishnu is the greatest personality. And there is something that is very, very significant here, which coincides with this Kirtan retreat that we had for the past week. And what coincides with our everyday activities in Krishna consciousness of coming to the temple and being among devotees. And what I'm hinting at is the fact that Bhrigu Muni was exposed to a higher reality. He was exposed to a higher consciousness. He was exposed to transcendence. He was exposed to a higher level of transcendence. And what did he do? He acted upon that exposure. He took advantage, and which is the convincing point that yes, he actually acted in his capacity. So what he did, that once he was exposed to Lord Vishnu, then this coming to today's verses, where he was completely stunned, so much in ecstasy that he was unable to speak and glorify the Lord properly. So this is very, very instructive. There are different personalities also in the Bhagavatam, in the line of Vedic scriptures, that once they were exposed, they took advantage of that exposure. Like one example is Dhruva Maharaj, that he was looking to get this great kingdom in the nature of his passion being a Kshatriya, being insulted by his stepmother and being rejected by his father. But when he got exposed to the higher reality of the getting darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what happened? He didn't continue to desire these benedictions anymore. He actually prayed, "Oh my Lord, I was looking for broken pieces of glass, and now I have found the most wonderful gem." So that is divine intelligence. That is the process of Bhakti Yoga. We also find other examples of, in the four Kumaras, they were impersonalists. And when they were exposed to devotional service, the higher reality, then they wholeheartedly embraced that, and they became full-fledged bhaktas. So this is the lesson here of taking advantage of association. So coming to like what we had here last week, you know, basically with all the seminars and the gist of the essence of the entire program, in a nutshell, was basically you can either be here in the association, like be here with the kirtan, be here with the holy name, in the presence of the holy name, or you can take association of the kirtan and take association of the holy name. So if we keenly analyze that, it's two completely different things. One is to be in the presence of the devotees and being the presence of the holy name. The other is to take association of the devotees and take association of the holy name. So it's two completely different, and they're very, very far away. Like, many people can be here, but it's not everyone generally would take the advantage of the association. Just like when Lord Krishna appeared on the battlefield. Everyone saw him there. He was in the presence of millions. But how many took advantage of his association? Only a few. So this is the point here for us to take advantage of whatever we are exposed to. And the proof of taking advantage of that association is the way we acted after that. How much we can manifest. Like back to our example here of this Holy Name retreat. That how much we have learned from those experiences and in everyday classes and everyday association, how much we learn can be proven by how much we practice and how much we endeavor to change and to improve thereafter. So this is very instructive here in this verse, or these string of verses, with Bhrigu Muni. He was exposed and he became completely stunned, he became completely changed, he became completely transcendental to the level that he was before. Once there was this pastime of Srila Prabhupada, he was circumambulating one of the temples, like early in the morning before Guru Puja. And inside, Vishnu Jan Swami was keeping a very, very sweet kirtan. So one of the devotees walking around with Srila Prabhupada commented to Srila Prabhupada, so, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, just see how Jayananda, how Vishnu Jan Swami has taken so much of your mercy, has gotten so much of your mercy." That's the word he used, that you gave so much mercy to him. And Srila Prabhupada stopped and turned around. He said, "No." He said, "My mercy is always there, but he has taken advantage of it." That's the difference. So it's a similar thing in Krishna consciousness. Here where we are, like reading the scriptures, understanding these, taking association. Being in the presence is wanting, taking association is a different thing. So this is the point here. And so this is like one of the many, many subject matters covered in these verses. It's like it's really difficult to go them all through. But what I want to do also is seeing that most of these purports here, and especially these set of purports, are pretty much extracts from the commentaries of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. I would like to read his commentaries on these verses, and that may at least help me to understand a little more. So this is the 10 canto commentaries by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, entitled Sarartha Darshini. Everyone is familiar with this. So I will not go through the verses, just his purport. So purport to 12, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Pleased by the Lord's solemn words, Bhrigu remained silent, unable to recite praises, as his throat was choked up with tears. Thus, according to the opinion of ancient authorities, Bhrigu did not commit an offense, since he was like a puppet being made to dance on the stage of the Lord's transcendental pleasure pastimes by the puppeteer named Vishnu. So here is something that I personally have some difficulty in understanding, and I always kind of ponder on it. It's very clear from what our present devotees are saying and what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is quoting our authorities as saying that this is an arrangement by the Lord to manifest his pastimes, where Bhriga Muni committed this violent act. And as we know from the previous classes, that Bhriga Muni kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest. So this is an arrangement. They're saying that this is an arrangement, so we should not hold Bhriga Muni responsible for committing an offense. But on the other hand, if you go back to yesterday's verse or the previous, we found that because of that act, that Lakshmi Devi is no longer so favorable to the Brahmanas. And as such, she keep them poor. She keep them away from wealth. She keep them always in this kind of a poverty-stricken atmosphere. So how can we reconcile these two? That's, yes, it's the Lord's arrangement to perform these pastimes, but because of performing these pastimes, that this, what you can say like a curse, has been pronounced from then henceforth. So is that also a pastime of the Lord, that he wants his devotees to be in that atmosphere? Or is it a reaction to Bhriga Muni's taking advantage of his liberal position, being such a great sage and has the authority to act in some level of freedom? Because we also find that, like, with some devotees, like in the early days with Trivikram Swami, because he was, in the early days, all the others were 18 and 19, and he was very old. He was like 29 or 30. That was considered very old in those days. So because he was older, Srila Prabhupada would sometimes have him sit next to him, you know, or on the same level. That's described in some of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. So, you know, he was given a certain level of liberty, a certain level of flexibility, some sort of level of authority, like above the others. But if he took that to mean something else, then, you know, that can be a problem. So many times in Krishna consciousness, in devotion service, or even in like our jobs, there's a certain level of flexibility is there because of your position, depends on your category. But if one takes advantage of that position and do something that is not in line with the standards, then there can be reactions. So I'm just kind of speculating here in the case of Bhriga Muni, that he went to test these three personalities. We can argue that he could have tested Lord Vishnu in some different ways. Like there's a saying that there are many different ways in killing a dog other than choking its throat. So, you know, there are many different ways that one could have tested. So if one takes the liberty to say, okay, I have the authority, then let me go to this extent, let me go to this violent extent or this extreme extent, then there can be reactions to that as well. So I thought I'll just, you know, throw that question out there, and we can probably discuss. I would like to hear some comments at the end. And so I would like to continue here. So verse 13. Now there's no purport to that. So 14 through 17, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And here what he did, and what this is the reason why I want to read these verses, his comments, is because he broke every text down individually. So here is his comment to text 15. The sages understood Vishnu, the Supreme, from whom comes the direct manifestation of Dharma, characterized by hearing, chanting, and other activities. Knowledge or realization of the personality of Godhead, and along with that, detachment. The word Sakshat should be understood to accompany all the items in this list. So Sakshat means manifestation. That by Krishna Bhakti, one easily attains transcendental knowledge and detachment is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42. I think the same is quoted over here. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things, these three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way, that pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. The same has been repeated in our purport there. This verse shows that devotion, realization of the Lord, and renunciation appear simultaneously. There is an alternative reading of Chaturvidam for Tad and Vitam. Then the idea is that this is not dry renunciation, but rather renunciation of the four ordinary goals of human endeavor, which is artha, dharma, kama, and moksha, which is economic development, religiosity, sense gratification, and liberation. So here is another very important point made by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And in one of our previous classes, we discussed this, that according to the standards of Sanskrit presentation and Vedic culture and understanding, is that there is a certain method of interpreting these verses, and it goes from one stage to an alternative stage to an alternative stage yet again. So that is described that the first stage of understanding, accepting, and interpreting a verse is called Mukhya Vritti. Mukhya Vritti means the direct interpretation. For example, if we say this is a flower, we mean exactly that, that this is a flower that is not a ball or a boat or anything. It's a flower. So that's a direct interpretation. That's called Mukhya Vritti. Then, sometimes you may have the verses are presented, the philosophy is presented in a certain way to give you a more, let's say, complicated understanding. And that alternative is called Lakshana Vritti. Like, for example, one example of that is to say that such and such devotee lives in the Ganges. Well, we know that ordinarily it's not practical for one to live in the Ganges. So basically what they're saying is that he lives on the banks of the Ganges. So that should be understood. It takes a little bit of a common sense, not a whole lot, to understand that that's what is meant to say, that he's living on the banks of the Ganges and not in the river itself. And then the third alternative, which is called Gaunya Vritti, that is more of a characterization of the verse or of one's behavior. Like, for example, we are addressing our Param Guru as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj as Narsinga Guru or Lion Guru. By that, we don't mean that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is a lion. What we mean that his preaching is so forceful and is so stern that and so fierce that is compared to that of a lion. So that interpretation and understanding is called Gaunya Vritti. So here, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying that even if one interprets this verse in this second way, that we are not talking about dry renunciation. We're talking about renunciation of what all other religionists and sentimentalists or religious followers are striving for, which is basically sense gratification, economic development, liberation. What's the other one? One more. Anyway, so these are Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. So these are what generally people are striving for. Like any religious practice you go to, you hear they're talking about, okay, you know, going to heaven, getting salvation, getting liberation. But as described here, the devotees, they don't strive for that. Even though it comes automatically, it comes as byproducts. Even very lately, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, when he was present, he made a comment one time when the devotees were doing Harinam, and then they start, well, actually somebody recommend, okay, because of the drought, do Harinam, so you'll get rain. And then he commented, he said, yes. So somebody went to him and says, well, you know, devotees, apparently they had this motive to do Harinam to get rain. So then he said, no, that devotees do Harinam to glorify the Lord. As a byproduct, then some rain comes. So there are different byproducts of devotional service. So all these different achievements are actually byproducts of devotional service. So they come, and it also describes how a devotee enjoys the best of these worlds. And this is describing some of these other verses quoted here. Time is kind of running out. I think I prepared too much materials here. But anyway, in this verse, what is quoted, Bhagavatam 3:25-37, it also talks about how a devotee enjoys the best of both worlds. Because of his practice of devotional service, then different things may come, different opportunities. And this word is used, enjoy. This is not a word that is really consistent with the life of a devotee. Like a devotee doesn't enjoy anything, or that's not the term we use, that the devotee generally, you know, enjoys. Like sometimes we hear the term, you know, oh, did you enjoy the prasadam? You know, that is on a higher level, that's incorrect. That devotee honor prasadam. If you talk about enjoyment, enjoyment is kind of a synonymous with sense gratification. But in this case, and in a few other cases, Srila Prabhupada particularly used the term enjoy, that a devotee enjoys this. Like, for example, in Bhagavatam, in the story of pastimes of the marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, in 3:22-33, it stated there that they gave a long description of the life of a devotee, how he gets up early in the morning, perform Mangal Arati, go through the whole day with devotional activities. And Srila Prabhupada particularly comments, he said, in this way, a devotee enjoys life. That word enjoyment is there, which is not really common. Throughout the Bhagavatam, if you look on the Vedabase, you won't find that word enjoyment come up in many places. It doesn't. But in this case, Srila Prabhupada said so. And how does a devotee enjoy? It's commented in the Bhagavad Gita, 7:11, that dharma avirudha bhuteshu, that a devotee enjoys by dharma avirudha, not virudha. Virudha means against religious principles. Avirudha means not against religious principles. So a devotee enjoys in this way dharma avirudha bhuteshu, that by following religious principles. So which means that they are certain parameters are there. Just like we can see, or we see like the hogs, you know, they enjoy, but for us, we are saying, no, that's not enjoyment. You know, that's definitely not enjoyment. Rooting in the stool and mud, But in that level of consciousness, in that mode, then yes, that is enjoyment. Similarly, there's so much, you know, out there, so much people engaging in sensory gratification. And if you ask them if they're enjoying, yes. But how are they enjoying by so much going through so much suffering, and a little bit they consider that enjoyment? I remember in Guyana, you know, like when I was there, and pretty much every third world country, people are thinking that coming to America is a lot of enjoyment. So they're saying that that America is a bed of roses. So when I came about 4 months after, I was speaking with my brother back in Guyana, the pastor of the group. And he said, you know, everyone is commenting that America is a bed of roses. What's your observation? I said, yes, definitely it is a bed of roses. But do they understand what is a bed of roses? A bed of roses is actually like thousands of thorns on these bushes, and in the middle you may have one rose. So to get to that rose, there's so much torture that you have to go through. So yes, some rose may be there in terms of sense gratification and, you know, so forth might be there. But what you have to do to get it, the best thing to do is just forget it. You know, that's the best thing. So yes, it is a bed of roses, but with a different understanding. So, you know, there are many, many examples of even materialists. I know up to last week and earlier this week, I had this like first-hand experience with my boss. He has been pretty close to me of late, you know, more so than his own son is. We've been together so much. And then he starts, you know, telling me about his personal problems and like his endeavor to, you know, engage in like these relationships. And everything is so frustrating. Everything is so, he's so down. He's just, and then behind that, he's harassing the other workers in the office because of his mood is prevailing, you know. So pretty much, and he has nothing short, you know, he's a millionaire. He has so much money, nothing, no debts, nothing material is, I mean, in terms of financial facility is a problem. But yet frustration is coming, you know, so much anxiety is there. And then I would tell him, you know, don't worry about that. Let's go to Krishna lunch. You know? So we go to Krishna lunch, and once you go there, we talk about Krishna consciousness. We talk about, you know, who is singing that music there, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Kirtan is always going on. And, you know, and so the idea is that with so much of endeavor that may go on in the material world, with all you may think that you're enjoying, but it's in a whole different mode. It's definitely not in the mode of goodness. And this, coming back to the conclusion of these verses, this is pretty much what Bhriga Muni is describing of Lord Vishnu. The emblem of peacefulness, the emblem of forgiveness, the emblem of, you know, all good qualities. And these are the products of devotional service, that all these products, all these qualities develop in us and make it very, very peaceful. So sometimes, because I'm not so very strong, sometimes I think, well, you know, out there is a lot of enjoyment, or like people are happy. Many times, I'm pretty sure many devotees have this argument that why are we suffering here as devotees? But if you step out there and understand what's going on, you would definitely want to run back in here if you have some intelligence. You know, I can tell you that one for sure. So anyway, these are just, well, there are many more thoughts, but I realize that, you know, it's just too much to say here. So if anyone has any comments or questions, we can take them. And especially if anyone would like to comment on what we talked about earlier, as to how this arrangement by the Lord promotes this course, or this, you know, dissatisfaction or unfavorableness towards the Brahmanas. How does one see that? Would anyone like to comment on that? No? So I guess we have to keep that for another day. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.